everybody, and welcome to episode 134 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who's willing to share his plasma, or for that matter, any other of his bodily fluids with you, Brian. Brian, how are you on this chilly Thursday, December evening?
I'm at a crossroads.
Really?
Emotionally, physically, all around. At a crossroads.
Okay. Because?
I don't know. It just sounded good.
Understood. I thought maybe you had something deeper to go into there.
No. One of my problems, especially during my first marriage, was that I didn't have anything deeper to go. Caused a lot of problems. She yelled at me a lot as a result. She kept saying deeper. I said, I can't go deeper. We fought too much.
Understood.
But thanks for bringing up that really traumatic memory that I had really just packed down amongst many layers.
Appreciate it. You got to peel away those layers to get to the really tearful underbody.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's drink, shall we?
Drink of the week.
Nazdrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Slasher.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink
Real the quick, week. Brian, before we get to the drink of the week, Billy is out of the gates fast talking about your deeper comment, saying deeper, like how deep the knife went. That's a great joke. Right off the bat, Billy's bringing his A game. We're ready for it. Brian, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking A. I'm going to hold this up properly so you can see the label because it's a very sweet label. I am drinking what is known as an Ultra Sorachi, which is a New England style IPA coming in at a 6.5 ABV. I haven't tried this yet, but I'm going to predict that it's a super ultra beer with a super ultra hop that brings a giant lemony character and an herbal touch, a splash of peculiar flavors, and an unconventional and delicious juicy IPA.
Sounds good, Brian. Try it. Let us know how it is.
It's not bad.
All right. Very nice.
It's not bad. IPAs aren't necessarily, you know, the hoppier it comes, the harder I fall. And this is the right level of hop. This is this is as much hop as you're going to get out of me.
Fair enough.
Ron?
Yes.
What are you drinking?
Tonight, I should say, I am going with 12-5 Brewing out of Wisconsin. They are the makers of Rebel Hard Coffee, which is my newfound love. But this is their special edition Peppermint Mocha Latte. I've actually had this before, clocking in at a solid 5%. It's a nice little sugary treat on the tongue this holiday season.
So it's a hard coffee.
Mm-hmm.
With peppermint mocha flavor on it.
A malt beverage with natural flavors and 100% Arabica coffee. That's limited edition mocha.
You said it's a malt beverage, so it's kind of like a Truly or a White Claw.
Like a Zima, if you will.
It looks like a small can, or you have Andre the Giant hands.
It is a small can. It's only 11 fluid ounces. So get as much as you do.
Hold my pint cup in my hand.
Listen, my can may be smaller, but I know what to do with it, Brian.
All girth. Oh, by the way?
Yes.
I received my first Christmas card.
You did? From who? You received the Bailey family Christmas card with our good friend Paisley right there on the cover. May it sent to BP and HP.
Of course.
And make sure both of you celebrate the holiday.
I love the fact that it said it's from the Bailey family, Ron, your wife, Paisley, and too many cats to name.
That's my wife. That's her sense of humor.
True sense of humor. True. Look at this. Look at the star. Look at that face.
It's a lovable dog. What can I tell you?
That's a dog that will wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, screeching a god-awful bloody mess.
You have experienced that personally. You know how traumatic that is.
I love it. And each time I forget to bring earplugs.
There you go. Maybe next time. Maybe next time you remember.
That's all right. With the COVID numbers, it looks like it's not going to be for a little bit.
Going to be a little bit of time before anyone's allowed in the state of Pennsylvania. But
we'll put a pin in that. We'll get back to that. What else, Ron?
We'll circle back. I think it's time for racism this week.
This week
in
racism.
And unfortunately, a ton of racism. We went the last few weeks, didn't really have a lot of stories. This time we have filled 2 pages worth of paper in small print to get everything. So let's dive right into this. We'll start with Burlington, Wisconsin, where racial tensions have boiled over in this community of 11,000 people after a fourth grade teacher included a lesson on the Black Lives Matter movement back in August. The teacher, Melissa Statz, included the lesson early in the school year because the kids had returned to class right after the Jacob Blake shooting, and they were asking her about the shooting and subsequent protests. Since the lesson, racial slurs have been burned onto wood chips on the playground, painted on the floor of a school building, and shouted during an online class. The message was not received well by the local community, which is over 90% white, and Stats became the target of online hatred, with some calling her human garbage and a thug, while others posted pictures of her with her children online. Going international, over to Paris, players walked off the pitch during a Champions League game after a referee allegedly made a racist remark. The game between Paris Saint-Germain and Istanbul Başakşehir was underway when a referee made the racist comment about Pierre Wibo, Başakşehir's, assistant coach.
Can you say that name again?
Başakşehir's assistant coach. Wibo,
one more time.
Off of the pitch after confronting the official Sebastian Cotesquieu. The match was suspended after 23 minutes of play after both teams walked off the field. The UEFA has opened an investigation into the incident. I'm not doing that name again. Amazon removed a children's doll from its website because the company selling it described a black doll's braided hair as, quote, colored dirty braids. On the listing, which led Amazon to take it down from their site. This comes after Amazon had to delist a pair of shoes from their site back in August because the color was listed as N-word brown.
What?
The Amazon filters obviously doing a great job there.
They don't have filters.
Clearly they do not.
Jesus.
Louisville, Kentucky. Coming from the city where Breonna Taylor's killers still walk free, a report from the Courier-Journal shows that black people in Louisville were overwhelmingly the subject of no-knock warrants over the last 2 years. The paper reviewed 22 of the 27 no-knock warrants that the Louisville Metro Police received approval for in 2019 and 2020 and found that the suspects were black in 82% of the cases, with 68% of them for homes in the predominantly black West End area. This is in a county where blacks make up 22% of the population. The report also found that black people were the subject of 48% of all search warrants, and black motorists were 3 times more likely to be stopped and searched by Louisville police officers than white motorists. A little bit of work needs to be done there.
I think Louisville's got, they need to set some goals. Yeah. I feel like they're kind of just languishing, just being like, hey, let's see what happens today. Like, I think they should set some goals. It's like, hey, let's not kill anyone today. And then after that, we can just like set another goal. Like, let's not physically abuse somebody that's unwarranted. And then maybe we can get to the point of like racial equality. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Kansas City, Missouri could set some goals as well. As a report by the Kansas City Star has found that a pattern of systemic racism has plagued the Kansas City Fire Department for decades. The report was triggered following an incident last year when Benjamin Barton, a white fire cadet, said that his favorite knot was a noose, threw a rope around the neck of a black classmate, and pulled it tight.
No.
Even though many firefighters called for Barton to be fired, he remained employed for several weeks and allowed to resign on his own. Records obtained by the Star show that half the city's fire crews don't have any black members. of the 48 highest ranking firefighters, only three are black, and it's been 30 years since Kansas City last had a black fire chief. The last black firefighter to be in the running to be chief was James Garrett. When he was passed over for the job, he filed a federal discrimination complaint and received a $111,000 settlement from the city. Garrett told the Star about the racism he faced during his 26 years with the Kansas City Fire Department, commenting that in almost every fire station he went to, he had to tell people not to use the N-word in front of him. So this is actually a pretty intense three-part report that the Kansas City Star did, outlining not just racism, but sexual harassment and assault within the Kansas City Fire Department. So we are going to share that link on the Facebook page in case you'd like to read through it. Yes, sir.
But the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
They did, but that unfortunately doesn't wash away systemic racism.
Okay, you drive a hard bargain.
I do. In North Little Rock, Arkansas, a black man received a racist letter about his black Santa decorations in his yard from someone writing as Santa Claus. Chris Kennedy received the letter this past Tuesday, which read, quote, "Please remove your Negro Santa Claus yard decoration. You should not try to deceive people into thinking that I am a Negro. I am a Caucasian white man to you and have been for the past 600 years. The letter then suggests that Kennedy should move to another local neighborhood to be, quote, with the rest of your racist kind. He has since received letters of support from his neighbors since the story went viral, but they have not been able to track down the individual that sent the letter.
So if Santa has been white for 600 years, what was he 601 years ago?
It's a good call. Very good call.
Do I dare make a guess?
Go for it. I'm up for it.
Asian.
A little twist here on the Ron and Brian podcast. Going out to the West Coast, Fresno, California, a black gym owner found a hanging noose and a racial slur carved into the door of his gym over the weekend. Sam Akodu, owner of Iron Bird Fitness, found that a toy skeleton had been tied to the door with a noose and the words, "Hey, N-word," were carved into the door frame. Police are currently investigating, but have no suspects. Akodu told a local paper that he plans to paint a mural on the front of the gym to send the message that he isn't going anywhere. Another international story, somewhat. We're going to Canada now. In Edmonton, a man has been charged with a hate-motivated attack on a Muslim mother and daughter in a mall parking lot. The assault took place at the Southgate Center on Tuesday afternoon when Richard Bradley Stevens allegedly approached two Somali women sitting in their vehicle, yelling racial abuse at them before punching through the passenger side window. Jesus. One of the men ran from the car and Stevens pushed her down and started to assault her. The other woman was also pushed to the ground after she tried to assist. Several bystanders stopped the attack and kept Stevens there until the police came and arrested him. He faces two counts of assault and one count of mischief. And since the attack was racially motivated, Canadian law allows the courts to consider increased sentencing if convicted. Take a breath there.
How you doing?
California. We're back out in California, Brian.
Got to be back. You know who's from Fresno, California?
I do not. Who?
Tom Seaver.
Interesting. Tom Terrific.
Mets legend.
Away recently.
Cincinnati Reds legend.
Yes.
Chicago White Sox legend.
Also, yes. Hall of Famer. So anyway, the Placerville Police Department is facing backlash after photos and videos surfaced of a group of people with Proud Boy hoodies with one of the department's patrol cars at a Toys for Tots event this past weekend. A group of about 20 people in Proud Boy's attire showed up at the event with sweatshirts that read Hangtown Proud Boy and featuring the city's official logo, which is a noose. Little side note, Brian. Historians say the town was the site of many hangings in the 1800s. So they were originally called Hangtown. They changed their name from Hangtown to Placertown in 1854, but never changed the official logo, despite public anger over it in recent years.
God, you think of
the city's logo is a noose. Anyway.
You think of California as like this liberal haven.
Not
but
not
it's fun. Like,
not the small ones. So Placerville Police Chief Joe Wren has disavowed any connection to the Proud Boys, but locals are asking for more to be done. In regards to the city logo, Mayor Michael Saragosa said, quote, "We're going to have this conversation on the city logo and the noose," but said that it would need to wait till next year because he feels that debate should be done in person. So apparently he feels there needs to be a debate over whether you keep the noose as the city logo.
Well, let's give it some more time just to really think through the issue.
We don't want to be hasty. We don't want to rush this. Lincoln, Nebraska, a white man chased his black neighbor with a chainsaw and yelled racial slurs at her, accusing her of recent thefts because she was black. When the woman was entering her apartment, Daniel Stuck confronted her while waving a chainsaw and yelling, "Get off my property, N-word." She was able to get away and call police, who arrested Stuck and charged him with making terroristic threats, and the incident is being treated as a hate crime. Going to Detroit, Michigan, a black lawmaker has received racist threats after taking part in a four-hour-long hearing with the state's House Oversight Committee, where Rudy Giuliani brought in his usual clown car of witnesses in attempt to prove voter fraud in the presidential election. Representative Cynthia Johnson pushed back against Giuliani's bullshit, saying, quote, "You're allowing people to come in here and lie, and I know you're lying." Since then, she has received a number of threatening voicemails, which she has been sharing on her Facebook page. One told her, "You should be swinging from a fucking rope," while another said, "Dems are going down, especially big lip N-words like you." Johnson stated that she will not be changing her number and will continue to post the voicemail messages she is receiving.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And then, obviously, the worst story of the week. Coming out of Columbus, Ohio, Stacy Goodson Jr., a 23-year-old black man, was shot and killed by a Franklin County Sheriff's Office deputy while returning home from a trip to the dentist's office. Authorities said Goodson was seen flashing a gun as he drove by a scene where sheriff's deputies and U.S. Marshals were conducting a search. A sheriff's deputy, later identified as Jason Mead, followed Goodson to confront him about the weapon. Mead claims that Goodson ignored his orders to drop his weapon, after which he fired at Goodson. Goodson's family states that he was only holding his keys and a sandwich when he was shot three times in the back. Franklin County Sheriff's deputies do not have body cameras, so there is no record as to what actually happened during the interaction. Mead was in the area as part of a task force that was wrapping up an unsuccessful search for, quote, violent suspects in the area. Goodson was not an object of the search, nor was he wanted by law enforcement. Police were quick to report that, quote, the suspect's weapon was recovered at the scene. However, Goodson had a concealed carry permit, so it was perfectly legal if he did have a gun on him. The Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation initially opened an investigation into the shooting, but that has now been taken over by the FBI and DOJ. Mead has been moved into an administrative role while the investigation is ongoing.
Fuck!
I mean, again, defending shooting someone multiple times in the back doesn't really make it seem like the deputy was in danger. Just going to go on with that.
I got nothing on that. That was just a depressing 8 minutes.
But if that wasn't enough...
Racism Rewind.
Or...
We have a couple of rewind stories. On Monday, construction crews started the process of removing the status of Confederate General Stonewall Jackson from Virginia Military Institute after black students spoke out about the culture of systemic racism at the school. We covered this about a month or so ago. The statue's removal is part of a series of major changes at the school, including the resignation of the school's longtime superintendent, and a call by Virginia Governor Ralph Northam for an investigation into the Institute. And then going back to our first year as a podcast, we have a follow-up to a racism story from back then. Former Lehigh University student UK Yang confessed to poisoning his black roommate back in 2018. Yang had purchased thallium off of the internet and poisoned water in a refrigerator he shared with roommate Juwan Royal. Royal suffered from chemical burns and heavy metal poisoning, and Yang was charged in December 2018. Yang also wrote racial slurs on Royal's belongings, which is why
I remember this.
This Week in Racism. Yang has pled guilty to attempted murder and faces up to 40 years when he is sentenced on January 21st. Woo!
You want to take a break?
I mean, very depressed. And just when I thought, you know, I had it all typed up, and just when I thought I was all set, then we got like two more that popped up after that.
Awful.
So we thought racism was going away the last couple of weeks. It does not appear to be the case, unfortunately. You would hope for a little better during the holiday season. But since we're in a bad mood now, let's get some beefs off our chest.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what is bothering you this week? What is your beef?
It's a beef I've had before. It is an issue we have discussed. It is a situation that I believe was the last of the last has been seen as of now.
Okay.
Today, I went online and made a payment of $419 to the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance.
Oh.
$490, because those bastards sent a letter to my employer instructing them to begin wage garnishments on my paycheck.
For what exactly?
For a tax debt from 2016 when I was married.
That hurts.
And as dedicated listeners of this podcast know, this was not a debt that I incurred myself.
There was a lot of debt that was incurred that wasn't yours that you have seemingly suffered for.
I think somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 is what I've paid.
I mean, definitely. Wow, that stinks.
It hurts.
It hurts.
You know what?
A little bit.
The worst part was that I was on the phone with this very nice young lady. She could have been an 84-year-old grandmother for all I know.
Right.
But she was on the she was answering the phones at the department. And I was just ranting to her about how this was not my debt. I shouldn't be paying this, but I understand it's not her fault. And as I'm doing, I'm like, I'm just that nut job on the phone who's like two steps away from showing up with like a wheelbarrow filled with pennies and dimes to be like, here's your fucking money, you greedy bastards. But I did not.
He's just on the phone like, at least he's not cursing at me.
I was not. I gave her my my information, and I am now out $490 additional dollars. Loyal listeners of the podcast remember that the IRS took a chunk of my $1,200 stimulus, and
true.
New York State took my entire income tax refund from 2019.
So are you clear now? Like, is this completely?
Yes. I am clear now. I am clear. Like Dianetics. Okay. I am clear.
You're
clear now.
Level 5 clear.
Yes, level 5 clear. Yes. Ron?
So my beef, and again, I guess this kind of ties into COVID, which we'll get to because obviously it's spiking again and everyone's going to die. But I normally get very dry skin in the winter. It's just a problem. It's, you know, my dermatologist just can't help me for whatever reason. And now imagine getting dry skin and also having to, you know, rub your hands down multiple times a day with a, you know, 70 to 80% alcohol mixture to sanitize yourself. And you can, I mean, I don't think the camera can really pick up the
let's try.
I mean, it's just like, just this one hand is already cracked and bleeding.
That's your right hand?
It's my right hand.
What's it like on the inside? Like right around here? Are there any calluses?
It's dry. It's just like the Sahara. So it's, you know, all you bastards that didn't.
Are you using any lotion?
I am using lotion, and this is how dry and scaly it looks, even with the lotion.
Have you gone to your doctor and gotten a prescription for medical grade lotion?
I have not been able to get into my doctor, but I will have to obviously try and do that. I have to put my life at risk. I mean, I guess
can't you do like a telehealth?
Maybe. Listen, Brian, I'm very good at complaining and I'm not as good as to doing something about what I'm complaining about.
This is not true. This entire podcast is all because you did the work. You did the work, yeah. Ron.
I did work, but it wasn't something I complained about.
You bitched about it every fucking stage. Whining and just nagging. It was like I was married to you for the first 4 months.
Also, again, got to give Billy credit for this comment about you having to pay $490 in taxes. $490 gone and no lap dance. No champagne room. No nothing. Oh, Janelle was telling me to get some Aquaphor. What's Aquaphor?
I thought that's what I put on when I got a tattoo. Isn't it?
I mean, that would make sense. That's like a moisturizer, is it?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll try it
out. Hold on. I see a comment that you just skipped over that I think does deserve to be put up there.
What's that?
Look at Johanna's comment.
Oh, why do you need to use hand sanitizer when you don't have to go to work? I will tell you, I was actually...
That's quality right there.
Number one, I use hand sanitizer if I go to the store, if I pump gas, pick up takeout, the whole nine yards. I was traveling this week. I was actually out in beautiful State College, Pennsylvania for a couple days doing some business travel.
Penn State?
We were finalizing the budgets for our hotels for 2021.
Who's we? Like, this is the part that gets, I just get such a kick out of.
The president and COO and myself, we were there working with the GMs and salespeople and getting everything locked up for next year.
Now I have a question. When you go to these meetings, do you dress up or do you show up in the same clothes that you would normally wear?
And Janelle pointed out earlier that she loved this sweater. This is why I'm in a fancy sweater today, because it was more business casual. It was more jeans and a sweater or whatnot.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. Ron, what did you eat tonight?
What did I eat tonight?
A new bit I'm going to try out this week. Ron, what did you eat tonight?
I had a Beyond Burger and some broccoli. I do like a Beyond Burger. It's not a burger substitute, but it tastes good. And then I put bacon and cheese on it, so it completely eradicated.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how is it prepared? How is it served?
Yeah, I mean, I cook it. You know, I put a little. I had some leftover cooked bacon from the weekend, so I put that on there. Threw some American cheese on it, melted it, put it on a roll, and then a little broccoli.
Was it a brioche bun?
It was a potato roll, actually.
I fucking love potato rolls.
There you go.
I'm a sucker for potato bread in any form.
But let's not skip over, my friend, my congratulations to give you for yet again going 2-0 last week with your NFL locks of the week. Kansas City was laying 14 points, minus 14 against Denver. You were like, you know what? I think Denver is going to step it up a little bit compared to last week.
Yeah.
Denver loses, but only by 6. And then Raiders were favored by 8.5 against the Jets. You were like, I think it's going to be closer. Jets almost won the whole damn thing.
I know.
And I want to talk about that in a minute. But the Raiders only won by 3.
Yeah. I would sit there and pat myself on the back if it were not for the fact that you rivaled my 2-0 week, going 2-0 yourself. 49ers were getting 1.5 against the Bills. You said, listen, the Bills are a runaway in this game. Bills taking 34-24 victory. Then, listen, as somebody who lives in the Philadelphia area, you know the Eagles like the back of your hand, as dry and chapped and cracked as it is. You saw the Packers laying 8.5 against the Eagles. You said, go Pack. Call me a cheesehead. Packers 30-16. Ron, you... in week 13, again, 2-0.
Yep.
How do you do it? How do you keep doing this every week?
Listen, I think, you know, we look at the statistics, but a lot of times you just go with your gut. Sometimes that's what it comes down to.
What do you got this week, buddy?
Can we just talk about that Jets loss for a second? Because it was such a Jets way to lose the game. They were up by 4, I believe it was, with 12 seconds left to go. Raiders had a 3rd and 10 on like the Jets 40. Defensive coordinator Greg Williams calls for a blitz, sends 8 people after the quarterback. Raiders now in single coverage with their wide receivers, throw the deep ball, get the touchdown, win the game. If you want to hear how crazy that was, ESPN reported that in the last 40 years, teams have been in that position that the Jets were in 252 times and did not rush any more than six players on defense. So literally unprecedented in 40 years in football, which is probably why the Jets fired Greg Williams the following day. But yeah, it was such a Jets way to win the game, to do something incredibly boneheaded that no other team had done in a long, long time.
In my defense, Ron, they covered. That's all that matters. If you're in Vegas, this is a lock. Pay me. Fuck you.
All right. This week, I'd like two road favorites. We've got New Orleans Saints going into the Link here in Philadelphia. The New Orleans Saints are favored by 6.5. I think it's bigger than that. I like the Saints minus 6.5. And then Green Bay going into Detroit. Detroit's got nothing to play for. Aaron Rodgers is having an MVP season. Green Bay minus 7.5 over Detroit. Lock it in. Ryan, who you got?
I've got Tennessee minus 7.5 against the hapless Jacksonville Jaguars. And then the Washington football team, or as I like to call them, Washington, had a good game last week against the Steelers, but they will not win two in a row. 49ers minus 3 over Washington. Book it. Call your bookie. Go to Vegas. Go to one of these casinos on a reservation. Literally bet all your money on these four bets that we just gave you, ladies and gentlemen. You will win so much money.
Listen, and if you go, we are partnering with DraftKings this week. Go on DraftKings, use the promo code $900LAPDANCE and receive a $1 bonus when you deposit $1,000. That is $900 lap dance. You have to spell out dollar. Don't use the dollar sign because the app won't accept it. Sorry, did you consider that cruel, Brian?
I think I would like to one day go back and listen to the time I told that story.
We'll have to pull that at some point and then maybe see if we can count up how many times that reference has been made since then.
Oh, pretty much every episode.
But sometimes it's more than once an episode. Like this time, I think I mentioned it at least three times.
Yeah.
As we discussed earlier, COVID numbers jumping back up across the United States. Earlier here, I think it was around 4 o'clock, our governor, Tom Wolf here in Pennsylvania, who had also tested positive for COVID earlier in the week, putting in new restrictions that will take place starting at 12:01 a.m. this Saturday, running through at least, I believe, January 8th.
Now this is the entire state of Pennsylvania?
The entire state of Pennsylvania. Indoor dining prohibited. Can still do outdoor takeout and takeout alcohol sales. Indoor operations at gyms are prohibited, but outdoor facilities and classes can continue as long as everyone's wearing a face covering. No indoor gatherings of more than 10 people. However, churches, synagogues, temples, mosques, and other places of worship specifically excluded from the limitations, but are strongly encouraged to find alternative methods for worship, because obviously, if it just goes to the Supreme Court, will let the churches get together.
Because COVID's afraid of God.
That's right. No outdoor gatherings of more than 50 people. No in-person extracurricular activities allowed with school. All sports at K-12 public schools and everything else paused. In-person businesses operate at 50% capacity. All in-person entertainment such as theaters, casinos, bowling alleys are prohibited from operation. So we're locking down again, Brian, here in Pennsylvania.
Now, how does that make you feel?
I mean, to be honest, I wasn't doing a hell of a lot to begin with, but I feel bad for the businesses that are impacted because, you know, if this was the start of the holiday season, it would be bad enough. But the fact that, you know, a lot of these businesses have been impacted for the last 9 months, and a number of them already closed, it's just going to make, the next, you know, probably 90 to 120 days very difficult for a lot of folks.
Now, what about indoor dining? Now, to me, I don't understand why they're shutting down indoor dining. I think that, you know, as long as people are 6 feet away, you know, they're socially distancing inside, they're wearing masks when they walk through the restaurant, I think the studies have shown that you know, it is it's a safe activity that people can do on a regular basis. It's just, this feels like it's an arbitrary ruling, really made to punish restaurateurs.
Well, and a lot of people agree with you, Brian, but we have a story today coming out of South Korea where a high school student there was infected with COVID-19 within 5 minutes and from a person 20 feet away while dining indoors.
What?
Dining indoors, apparently. This apparently initially stumped contact tracers in the North Jeolla province where the restaurant was located, because the restaurant hadn't reported any infections in a month. The high school senior hadn't traveled outside of the region, but cell phone GPS data showed that she had briefly overlapped at a restaurant with a saleswoman who contracted COVID-19 and visited for business. And they have confirmed that both of the cases came from the same strain of the virus. So after looking at surveillance video and everything else, they showed that while the two individuals were in the restaurant, did not touch any of the similar cutlery. They weren't closer than 20 feet together. However, they could tell that a air conditioner was on. So their theory is that the air conditioner moved the air across the restaurant, which caused this individual to get infected.
So what you're saying is that maybe indoor dining is not as safe as I was led to believe.
You know, again, I think this is the challenge, is that depending on the setup of the restaurant and especially the airflow of the restaurant, you know, the 6 feet rule doesn't always, doesn't always hold true.
All right.
And then on top of that, you know, we're getting the jump in cases because everybody, you know, was home for Thanksgiving, visiting, you know, the
1 million Americans flew.
Right.
1 million Americans flew during the holiday Thanksgiving weekend, traveling over states. It's just, you know, it's time we're paying the piper for our selfishness.
Now, if you want to get a head start on getting the vaccine, you go on the dark net. Drug dealers are now selling what they are referring to as Pfizer COVID vaccines for close to $1,400 for a dose. So I guess it'd be $2,800 because you'd need two doses.
Of course, of course.
Vice was reporting on this, and they asked for proof, for which one of the sellers replied with the stock image of a vial labeled coronavirus vaccine. So it seemed fairly legitimate to me.
I mean, I would let somebody, you know, put that into my arm.
And
however, in all honesty, in England, in the UK, where they have already officially approved the Pfizer vaccine, they have already begun the vaccination process.
That's true. They started this in the UK. Margaret, what was her name?
Atwater.
Well, it was the woman in the UK that was the first one.
Thatcher.
Yes, Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher, yes.
Over in the UK. Now, this is interesting, and I don't know how we missed this back in April, but apparently back in April, there were multiple darknet vendors selling what they claim to be the blood of recovered COVID-19 patients for nearly $16,000 per liter, promising prospective buyers a lifetime immunity against the coronavirus.
Wow.
So what you've been giving away for free, Brian, you could have been getting 16 grand per liter on the dark net.
How outraged would I be if I found out that the New York Blood Center was just selling my plasma for top dollars?
I mean, I think they are.
I mean, all I get is, first off, I lose an hour of my time, 810 milliliters of my luscious convalescent plasma. And you know what I get in return? A little thing of apple juice, some Lorna Dunes, and some and a bag of pretzels. That's it. That's it.
So I guess
do you think if I went back to that strip club and offered to exchange my plasma, I could get my $900 back?
Well, I was just about to say, like, I think you could be, like, a word problem in, like, an eighth grade math class. Like, if Brian can get 16,000 per liter for his blood, how many lap dances does that equate to?
Oh, fuck me.
Show your work. It's the new math. Fuck. This was scary to see down in Florida, where police raided the home of a former state coronavirus data scientist on Monday. This is Rebecca Jones, who had initially been fired by the State Department of Health back in May. She has continued to report on COVID cases, numbers, deaths, contamination
the data. Rate. We'll just call it data. Big data.
Right. So they served with a search warrant. About 10 officers with guns drawn showed up at her Tallahassee home about 8:30, arrested her, took computers, took other things from her house. Just a very frightening attempt, some are saying, to try and silence a whistleblower. So distressing, in fact, that there was a lifelong Republican, Ron Filipkowski, who was part of the 12th Circuit Judicial Nomination Committee in Florida, who actually tendered his resignation. He is a criminal lawyer. He read the search warrant that was served on this woman and was shocked at how broad it was, what they were alleging to be a supposed crime. And in his resignation letter, even stated that he was not interested in serving this current Florida government administration any further.
And Florida's fucked. Florida's a fucking backwards. It's just fucked, for lack of. It always has been fucked to begin right. with, but it definitely feels even worse under DeSanto. Ron DeSanto, I believe, was a second baseman for the Chicago Cubs back in the early 70s.
Are you saying he played with Tom Seaver?
Tom Seaver played for the White Sox in the mid 80s.
Just trying to trip. But is this a new bit you're doing where you come up with different baseball players?
No, I'm reading a story. I'm reading a book on Tom Seaver.
Oh, interesting.
I finally finished A People's History of the United States. Okay. So I figured after, reading that very dry anti-American book for the past few months, I decided to move on to something a little bit more lighthearted. And I could think of anything more than reading about one of baseball's greats who eventually gets diminished by dementia and dies.
All right. Speaking of vaccines, Russian officials are warning citizens to avoid alcohol for 2 months after receiving the country's COVID-19 vaccine. That is tough. Apparently, it takes 42 days for the Sputnik V coronavirus vaccine to become effective, and they say no alcohol during that time.
What are the odds that that's actually going to take place in Russia?
That the vaccine will work, or that people won't drink during this time?
That people will not drink for 2 months in Russia.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happening whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be able to do it.
Yeah, no, I don't think that there's no way that that would happen.
Yeah. Well, Brian, more
the Russians love to drink.
They do. They are
hands down
more vodka than any other country per capita in the world.
Yeah, Ron. Tell me a time when you hurt.
I mean, right now, my hands, they hurt. Is it you're testing out some new bits? I like
that. That was bit number two. Ron, tell me about a time when you hurt.
Right now, I'm hurting. Deep hurting right now.
Now, do you scratch? Like, what's the, or does
it? No, I mean, it doesn't itch. It's just painful. It just, you know, when I move my hands, you feel it.
Can I make a suggestion?
Always.
When you take your shower tomorrow morning, turn the water, just cold water off, hot water all the way. Stand outside the shower.
Right.
Fully naked, of course. You have to be naked to do this.
All right.
And then just extend your hand under the water flow for a good couple minutes, maybe like five.
Right.
Eventually,
really hot and red.
The sting will go away after a couple minutes.
All right.
And then take it out and let's give it a couple scratches.
All right, very good. Brian?
Yeah.
What are you watching?
All right. For those people that have HBO and or HBO Max, I am watching Heaven's Gate, Cult of Cults.
A lot of people, some of the younger kids out there, if you could refresh them on what the Heaven's Gate cult was.
1996, California, right outside San Diego. 37 people in a UFO-centered religious organization all died while wearing matching uniforms and sneakers while having taken a barbiturate that was mixed in with applesauce, and then as they passed out, were asphyxiated with a plastic bag wrapped with a rubber band around their neck. 37 people, I believe. It's very similar to season 3 of Brockmire. Sorry, Billy, I had to steal that joke. So the story is just the history of the cult, obviously leading up to the mass suicide. I've learned a lot about Heaven's Gate. They had been an organization that had been around since the 70s. Hmm. And unlike other cults, for a large majority of the time frame that this group was in existence, there was actually, it probably was one of the most freeing cults around. People were encouraged to leave the group if they did not feel that they wanted to abide by the social norms of that were set out by the leaders. So people would leave, come back, leave, come back. There's one point in the, I believe it was like the mid 80s, where the leader just said, okay, I think, you know what? People have been talking about wanting to go home and see their families. Everybody fly home, go visit your families, come back in a month. And at the time that they did this, there was 20 people in the group, 19 returned.
Hmm. All right. So it wasn't overboard at the moment.
Correct. These people, clearly they were brainwashed. So,
right.
But it's not as if they were being held against their will, right. Like the whole time.
They had the ability to come and go. And absolutely. There was like a suicide pack at that point.
Towards the end, there was a suicide pack. Yes.
Okay.
Towards the end. And basically what they did was that because they were very UFO centric, the way they saw Earth was that we are like a way station in the timeline of existence, that the human bodies were simply vehicles to help us get from one level to the next. And in the mid-90s, when it was discovered that the Hale-Bopp comet was passing the Earth, that was when this group decided that there was a UFO on the other side of the comet that was going to come and take them all away, but they could not be in their vehicles on Earth when it passed by. So that's why they killed themselves.
Very nice. Would you recommend it?
Dying?
the documentary, would you recommend watching?
Oh yeah, I definitely would. It starts off slow, and I have to admit, I'm one of those people that, and my porn habits are very similar. It's like, give me the money shot. Give me what I came here for. What was the documentary you and I watched? I think it was at the beginning of this pandemic, where it was about two brothers who had been sexually abused as children and one suffered amnesia.
I don't remember the title of that, but
let Matt look it up sometime. See if he can DM it. Matt, if you're listening right now, let us know. What is the name of it? I think it was like My Brother's Keeper, or I could be making that up. But the idea was, I was watching that for 2 hours because I wanted to hear about the sexual abuse.
Right.
And they made me wait for it, and I felt gross. This documentary, the first, I would say, solid hour and 40 minutes is all about the growth of this group. So you're just wait, and I found myself being like, all right, come on, get to it. Let's, when do they die? When do they start? Oh, did I, I left out the fact that most that a lot of the male members of the group castrated themselves.
Yeah, I remember that. That's a big leave. That's a big thing to leave out.
So it's like, you know that there's so much meat to chew on this story, but they haven't gotten to it yet. They get to it at the end of episode two. Episode three, wow. And I saved episode four.
All right. And the documentary you were talking about, Matt just texted me, tell me who I am.
Ooh, yes. If you have not seen that, folks, just fast forward. Fast forward to the last 10 minutes. So get your lotion, get your tissues, and then have at it. Ron, what are you watching?
Well, you know, I tasked you with something this week for both of us to watch. And that is on Apple TV and Apple TV Plus, the Mariah Carey Christmas special. So I have feelings about this Christmas special. I would like to hear what you felt while watching it.
It was atrocious. It was a holiday song medley in 44 minutes with one of the weakest plots to connect the songs.
Yeah,
I could not tell. In some scenes, it seemed as if the actors were together. In other scenes, it felt like they had filmed them apart and CGI overlaid them. Mariah Carey has the acting skills. They've actually gotten worse than, what was that movie she was in? Julie?
Now, Julie was with J-Lo. I can't remember. I'll ask Matt yet again.
Matt. So the general plot seems to be that Mariah Carey's needed to save Christmas and put on a Christmas concert. And it was an escort. It was one word. It was I was trying to get it before.
Yeah, it was glitter. That's what it was.
Glitter. That was it. This is atrocious. So let's go over some of the notes I wrote down.
Okay.
Why is Tiffany Haddish not wearing a wig?
She was not. She was natural hair.
Well, speaking of natural hair, Billy Eichner, his chest hair literally meets his beard. Which it just grows right up the neck. And I found it very disturbing that nobody told him to shave the neck under any way. Mariah Carey has had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
I could not understand what Ariana Grande was doing there or why she's popular.
Very good question.
Could not understand why they had Snoop Dogg on screen for literally 3 minutes. He said about 12 lines, and then you never see him again. Also, couldn't tell if he was on screen with CeeLo Green or Jermaine Dupri. Still don't know. Don't answer it.
I won't.
Then I said that this was actually worse than the Rockefeller Center holiday show, which I saw probably 5 years in a row. Mariah Carey has gigantic fake tits. They're just ginormous. However, she's also had a lot of work done here, allegedly. Santa doesn't exist. The show's atrocious. They had to end it with her shitty song. And throughout it, she wears more wigs than a Cher musical special. Ron, what were your thoughts?
My thoughts were probably one of the biggest self-indulgent pieces of crap that I've seen. Just like, I mean, I've seen other Christmas specials, and yes, whoever's Christmas special it is usually will do most of the performances, but she literally had to be involved in every single performance.
Every song.
Even the, there was a ballet dancer that they had on for like 2 minutes dancing to the dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, which has no words. It's a instrumental, and she just vocalized Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies. Like, she just couldn't even let that one go. She she's had a lot of work done. Literally has no defining lines on her face whatsoever.
It's
difficult to tell where, like, her cheeks end and her nose and mouth begins. Stuffed into outfits like a sausage ready to burst out of its casing.
And the bursting is literally just in this area.
True.
It's literally just like.
Well, to be fair, I mean, she also doesn't wear dresses unless it is slit all the way up the side to her waist.
Correct. Correct. So it's got to show the gams.
Billy Eichner, I fully believe that when his agent calls him now, he just answers the phone saying, yes, I'll do it. Doesn't even need to know what the project is, but he will do it.
Yeah. Little known fact, Billy Eichner went to the same high school I did.
Oh, very nice. Same class, or is he younger?
I graduated earlier than he did, but you don't have to make me feel old.
I feel bad for Mariah Carey's kids because they seem relatively normal at this point, and I hope they don't, you know.
Were those her actual kids?
Yeah, those are her actual kids. So I hope they don't call Paris Jackson on us.
What do you think Nick Cannon was doing while this show was being done?
I mean, just realizing why he's not with her anymore. He was like, yep, this all makes sense to me. So it was, you know, I watched it thinking it would be a train wreck, said it was a train wreck, and said, you know what? Brian needs to share my pain with this.
Fuck you, man. You can't. And by the way, I watched it last night, and I let you know that I was not enjoying myself.
You did. Yes. So
if you have Apple TV and you want to feel pain, watch the Mariah Carey Magical Christmas Special. And I hated the fact that they ended it with her stupid Christmas song, because like I was watching it and they start doing Joy to the World, the big number. Everybody comes out and is singing and clapping, and they had to throw in the all African American choral arrangement because they were all wearing white because it was like a P. Diddy Hamptons party. And now, so like Joy to the World is the end of any Christmas special.
You think, yes.
And it was, so I was just like, that was awful. Garbage, trash, abysmal. Well, at least it's over. And then Billy Eichner was just like, but it just feels like there's something missing. And I just said, what? No, nothing's missing. We did it.
We're good. You can wrap it up. Roll the credits.
And then you see Mariah Carey go, and I was just like, oh, no, not another song. It was torturous.
There you go. What else did I watch this week? I watched the new movie Freaky with Vince Vaughn. I don't know if you saw the previews
for
that.
Is that the body twist?
He's a serial killer, and he switches bodies with the girl that he's trying to kill. And then she, in Vince Vaughn's body, spends the rest of the movie trying to reverse that.
I feel like that has been done before, where two people have, you know, their souls have swapped bodies. You know, I couldn't think, maybe it's never been done before, but I just kind of feel like it's not necessarily what I would consider an original idea.
It wasn't original. I mean, it was okay. Like, I mean, it was definitely, if you liked violence, it was definitely good. A lot of gore. You know, Vince Vaughn was surprisingly good in his role. I would not say, like, right now, if you want it, it's $20. It is not worth $20 to rent. I would wait till it comes
down. Did you pay $20?
No, I got a screener's version, let's call it.
Understood. No. As this podcast has grown and our production value has improved, I do like the idea that we've started to get screening copies of books and movies and whatnot.
And then also on HBO Max, watched the Flight Attendant. Caught the first couple of episodes of that.
How is that? I heard something decent about it.
It's good. I'm not a huge fan of the format because there's a lot of time. So she wakes up in a hotel room with a guy that has been killed. She doesn't know if she's the one that killed him because she was blackout drunk or if someone else killed him. So she is trying to figure this all out. And there are times where she like flashes into her own head and she's back in that hotel room. Kind of a slow reveal of things. So I'll probably give it one more episode before I decide whether I'm going to dump it or not.
How many did you watch?
Two.
Okay.
So I think it's six episodes altogether, six or eight, but I will see how it goes.
Are they putting them all out at once, or do you have to watch them? Are they coming out one at a time?
I think they're coming out one at a time, but I think five episodes might be out already.
That's probably four too many. But Ron, if you've already gotten this far, Why don't you watch it again? But Ron?
Yes.
Why should Bill Cosby get a retrial?
That is a very limited bit, but I will say this. I don't know that he necessarily should.
No, no, no. The question is, why should he? You have to sell. See, this is the problem with, you know, this is the problem with stand-ups.
So
is you don't understand. You don't understand improv.
I was going to say, partner, it's like improv. You say yes, regardless of
you
what.
You have to say yes, and you have to go with it. You can't just be like, no, he shouldn't get a retrial.
I will say, yes, he should get a retrial because I think he needs to reveal the evidence that his attorney has come up with that showed that Brian actually drugged all his women.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Scandalous.
All right. Celebrity obituaries this week, Brian. We had
lost some good ones this week. We lost some good ones, people. First and foremost, and this is the one that's going to hurt the most, BAPS co-star Natalie Dizelle Reed died at the age of 53. Oh, that one's going to be reverberating throughout Hollywood for years.
I don't know, Brian. For me, it was Booyah Tribe member Gangsta Rid dying of COVID. There it is again at age 52.
You know, Ron, for me, it was seven-time MLB All-Star Dick Allen dying at the age of 78.
Former Philadelphia Philly Dick Allen, I will say. What hit me, the original Third Eye Blind bassist, Jason Slater, dead at 49, back before Third Eye Blind went all commercial, back when they really loved the music. You know, Jason was slapping the bass back then. And we will miss him.
You know, Ron, for me, it was Chuck Yeager, the man who broke the sound
barrier.
Damn it, motherfucker. I knew I was close. Dead at the age of 97. Not from COVID, by the way.
No? Did he crash a plane?
I think he just died. I mean, at 97, I mean, fuck. I mean, you're lucky you're still breathing at that point.
Well, obviously, though, the biggest tragedy of the week, actor David Lander, best known for his role of Andrew Squiggy Squigman on the
sitcom
Vernon and Shirley, dying at the age of 73 after fighting multiple sclerosis for decades.
Poor guy.
So I think Michael McKean's Michael McKean's pretty much the only one from Laverne and Shirley still left alive, I think.
Shirley's gone?
I think so.
She's gone, and don't call me Shirley. Ron, what's your favorite Sirius channel?
My favorite Sirius channel? That's a good question. It kind of fluctuates from time to time, but I'm going with Road Trip Radio a lot right now.
What's Road Trip Radio?
That's just a lot of really, you know, it's like Freedom Rock, but on a channel.
Oh, God. All right, keep going.
I think that was all the celebrity obituaries we had.
Yeah.
Damn shame.
Nobody else died. Oh, hold on a second. We're averaging about 3,000 people a day because of COVID.
And Billy coming up quicker than Matt right now. Cindy Williams, who played Shirley, still alive. And Carmine, the big ragu.
The big ragu. He looked like he smelled like garlic and olive oil.
That means he did a great job at his role.
Watch it. He's probably Greek and not even Italian. Not even Italian.
What? Yes, you did mention we now have a 9/11 a day of people dying from COVID. So stay inside. Just wear a
mask. Herd immunity, people. We're that close. We are that close to herd immunity. If indoor dining is shutting down on Saturday, go out right now. Go indoors. Get the COVID. Go home. Just deal with it for a couple weeks. You know, you may not even be symptomatic, but at the end of it, you herd immunity.
Go on.
It's funny.
Get the vaccine.
Buy my anti-plasma. DM me for rates. Let's collab, folks.
DM Brian for collab rates and plasma.
But what I was going to say was that I was talking to a woman in my office who also tested positive for COVID when she was not feeling well back in March, negative for antibodies.
Really? See, that's the thing. Very, you don't know. You don't know if you're going to get the antibodies, and when you get the antibodies, you don't know necessarily how long.
Not everybody has my antibodies. DM me for rates. Let's collab.
Exactly. Exactly. Anything else this week, Brian?
Ron?
Yes.
How many gumballs can you fit in your mouth?
You know, I don't know. I would imagine probably I'm going to go in the neighborhood of 20 to 25.
Okay. Do you want my other two questions? Brian.
What's that?
I haven't even thought of it. I got two more. Do you want them or no?
Hit them up. I mean, you put in the work, so I want you to I want you to reap the benefits.
Ron,
yes.
Why didn't Jimmy Carter win re-election?
You know, it was fake news back then. That's when it first started. They really, you know, they really portrayed him as a incompetent president.
Okay. Last but not least, Ron, how many fingers until it hurts?
I mean, for me, one.
For me.
Listen, I turned 50 in a little under 3 months, and I'm dreading that that first prostate exam that is on the horizon.
Can I make you an offer? Can I make you an offer?
I mean, you can make me an offer. I'm a little frightened.
All right.
Lead in what that offer might
be. So next year you turn 50.
Right.
And you're going to go for your physical, at which point they will check your prostate.
They will. Yep.
To ensure that you do not have an embarrassing experience like I did when I went to get a physical and had my prostate checked. To ensure that you don't clutch your knees to your chest, whining out, please stop, like I did.
Right.
Fact. Would you like me to come down to Philadelphia for a weekend and we can just practice?
I mean, you're a good friend to suggest that. And I will definitely take that under advisement. I'm just
if you not- look, I have very narrow fingers. They're somewhat long.
Getting to that just at the moment.
They're not thick. They're not thick fingers.
They're not. I'll mull it over and get back to you on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
As always, we thank everybody for joining us. We do need to push Patreon.
Patreon.
We'll be at the bottom of this hour starting our After Dark episode exclusively for bronze level Patreon members and higher. If you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, you can click on the Become a Patron button, and that will take you right to Patreon, where you can sign up, and we can get you the link. You get a bunch of awesome swag along with that. We have some extra promotions going on, where depending on the level, if you're there for 3 months, you can get a mug like Brian has been drinking out of this evening. You can get a organic tote bag, or you can get a sweet-ass hoodie. Great for this time of year, since it is getting a little chilly out there. So anyway, thank you for joining.
The hoodie is fucking nice. Yeah. I will say, the hoodie is fucking nice. I would have liked the logo a little bit larger.
Okay.
But it's a great hoodie. But this mug is kick-ass.
Mug is solid. So, and as always, you know, go to Apple Podcast, rate us, you know, review us. Don't just give us the 5 stars. Write out why you love us so much. You know,
if you're watching on YouTube right now, click the subscribe button.
Yeah.
You know, be a follower.
Revolution. We are looking into, there's a new service out there that can reward podcast listeners for referring the podcast to other people. So we may test that out. We may be getting that out to you shortly. We will see. We're doing our due diligence. We don't like to rip off our listeners. So we're making sure it's on the up and up.
Do you want to let people know about the Christmas week special that we do every year?
The Christmas week special, it's very special, so special this year that we are actually Christmas week going to move the podcast and the After Dark episode to the 23rd, to that Wednesday night, allowing all of you to spend Christmas Eve, hopefully not with your loved ones because you really shouldn't be gathering, but it'll free up your Christmas Eve to perhaps watch the Mariah Carey Christmas special on Apple TV.
Some of the guests that we have lined up said that Christmas Eve they could not do live. I mean, we have a very special show lined up. Some of the guests that we've had on in the past are will be making an appearance. I will be singing the 13 Nights of Christmas, where I like to act out the different gifts that are being given out. Ron, you dress up as Santa.
Yep.
And you read Night Before Christmas. Even though it will be the night before Christmas. It's our little, you know, witty twist on it.
We all seven fishes during the podcast, you know, as an homage to, you know, those that celebrate that way.
Yeah. And then I will sous vide just a bag of infused oil.
All right. That's an interesting way to do it. Anything else this week, Brian, my friend?
No. Subscribe to the Patreon. Help us out. Help us continue to give you a better product.
All right.
And maybe we can actually afford to throw Matt a couple bones a month for all of his hard work.
We'll see. He's a good kid. In the meantime, we will catch our Patreon subscribers on Ron and Brian After Dark. Everyone else, we will see you next week.